And good morning. Thank you very much. Oh, great. I just broke the microphone. You're not going to believe this. The whole thing fell apart. I'm holding it in my hands. Let me see if I can get this back on again. Okay, Roy, stop breaking stuff. All right, if it makes noise... What is the deal with this? Okay, if it makes noise... Oh, man. All right, everybody, I broke the microphone. All I did was I was trying to pull it closer to me, and I popped the whole thing off. All right, I gotta squeeze this. It's like a clamp in here. All right, I got it back in. All right, I got the thumb screw working. All right. No, that's... Oh, that is not right. Who did that? Somebody sabotaged me. You know what I need? I need my Leatherman tool from the car so I can tighten the sucker up. That is not tight. Oh, please don't fall apart. Okay. I'm so sorry. I just literally wasted a minute and a half of your time. Please forgive me. Let me see if I can make up for it now. Okay. Someone asked me a question, and I'm going to try to answer that right now. So, this is not meant to be morbid, but at one point in human history, on the Earth, there was a great flood. I was even watching a YouTube video where a geologist is showing all the rock formations from granite to sandstone. He says, look at this. This is all over the world. At some point in our history, in the past, there was a great flood that covered the Earth. Now, the point that I'm going to get to is just a simple point. Every living thing that was walking upon the earth died in that great flood, except for 8 souls that were saved. And that would be Noah and his family upon the ark that God instructed him to make. Now, what happens? Maybe I can say it this way. If an animal drowns, like one time I had a possum try to crawl into a rain barrel, and yes, I understand why. It was a horrible heat of summer. There was no rain for 60 days straight, 110 degrees every day. Well, anyway, the possum's just looking for water, right? But what happens when the possum crawls into the rain barrel and he can't get back out? Well, he drowned. I don't know, the barrel might have been half full of rainwater. But still. So what happens? There's an explosion of algae from all the dead decomposing carbon-based life form. That is not my idea of drinking water. And so when there was a great flood, what do you do with all these living organisms or animals that died? Well, you've seen an animal die. They float to the surface, just like if a... How many times have you been on the lake or in a river and you've seen a fish float to the surface when it's dead? Yeah, they do that. There's a process of decomposition. Bacteria start to ferment as they break down the organism. And so you have these gases and it makes them rise to the top. Anyway, the point that I'm getting to is this. There is a cellular organism that's called a diatom. If you want to call them algae, that would be correct. And so when you have a tremendous abundance of dead animals floating on the surface of the water, this would be the perfect environment for algae to start doing their job, which is to helping to digest, break down all the decomposing carbon-based life forms. And so all over the planet, we have these huge reserves and deposits of what's called diatomaceous earth. Now, when I look at it, it kind of has a little bit of an ivory color to it. It's like fluffy white powder. If you held a spoon of it up near your nose and you sneeze, it would be poof. There'd be like white dust all over your face like an explosion. Don't do that. You don't want to breathe that stuff in. So diatomaceous earth is what they use in toothpaste. So to give your toothpaste some abrasive quality, they just put diatomaceous earth in there. So it kind of scrubs the the plaque and the food debris and whatever gunk builds up on the teeth. So that's diatomaceous earth. But as it relates to health, let me kind of cover this, and I'm just going to try to make it simple right here. If you look at a diatom or diatomaceous earth under a microscope, that's easy to look up. If you don't have a microscope, just type in picture of diatoms or diatomaceous earth under a microscope. You'll see millions of pictures. Well, one of the things that the diatomaceous earth is made of, it's made of a substance called silica. I think the exoskeleton of these single-celled algae, or these cellular algae called diatoms, the skeleton is made of silicon dioxide, which might be called glass. And so you're thinking, well, how is that useful to the human body? Well, 85% of the diatomaceous earth is composed of an element in nature called silica. Do you know anyone that has bad skin or bad hair or their teeth are bad or they're showing signs of very poor collagen synthesis? Well, this might be an application for them. But under a microscope, they have this generous honeycomb pattern that's very unique. Just the intricate sophistication of some of these tiny creatures just blows my mind. It's almost as if they had a master designer. Of course they did. My point is, this honeycomb pattern, it does one of the most fabulous jobs of all time of helping soak up toxic debris that under normal circumstances would poison you. And it would cause your organs and glands and tissues and cells to become weaker. But if this honeycomb pattern can suck up the poison, then it can be eliminated just through the natural processes of, normal human elimination. I think you know what that means. The other point that I want to get to, and I have just two more, and I'll be done with this topic unless somebody has a question. These little bitty single-celled silica or silicon dioxide exoskeletons called diatoms, they hold what's called a negative ionic charge. Now, that to me is so interesting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to frame this an additional way. So the diatomaceous earth itself, it holds this negative ionic charge, so it's electrically charged. And you're thinking, well, how is that significant, or what's the importance of that, or why do I need to know that? Well, let's put it this way. Every bit of poison, every toxin that you could think of, every bit, if you want to call it waste, if there's a chemical, let me see what chemicals can I think of. I'm just going to say glyphosate or Roundup. There's a toxic chemical right there. That is one chemical that is not good for human existence. But they say it is, but that doesn't make it so just because they claim that. There's a lot of things like paraquat that are neurotoxins, pesticides, insecticides. Anyway, you get the gist of it. Or if you could say it a different way, you could say, well, what about if a person has a parasitic yeast called Candida, or they have the COVID-19 virus, or somebody has a staph infection, or they have strep throat, or they have tuberculosis or malaria? Well, that's what those organisms do, or if you can just call them parasites, that would be true. Well, they release their metabolic waste. It's just very, very toxic to a human organism. So all toxins in nature, they have this positive ionic electrical charge. Now, you know about magnets. I know you played with them as a child, because I did. It's great fun. As a matter of fact, if somebody gave me two magnets, I might be playing with them right now instead of doing the radio show. They're that much fun. I mean, didn't you play with magnets growing up? It's tremendous fun. Anyway, so if you take the north pole of a magnet and it naturally, it's like energy. It just draws together to the south pole. So a north pole attracts a south pole. Anyway, two north poles repel each other. But diatomaceous earth, it harbors this natural negative ionic charge. Well, how does that benefit you, and how does that benefit me? Because I have no problem taking diatomaceous earth. I think it's one of the greatest things on earth, and it's dirt cheap, no pun intended. It attracts these positive toxins so they can be safely carried from the body. Let me think. Who needs to know this information? The people that are only healthy or the people that are sick? Both. Because that's one of the aspects of health that I find so disturbing. And please, don't take what I'm saying in a context. I'm not trying to be negative here. But if all you do is wait for your body to completely break down, and let me give you an example. Let's just say there's a person that has, like, constant tummy trouble. They feel horrible. They're nauseated. They want to throw up all the time. They're suffering from constipation mixed with bouts of diarrhea. They have stools that are full of mucus. Well, if they go to the doctor might say, and I'm just talking about the top doctors in Texas, that's called a gastroenterologist, and they say, oh my goodness, this is so interesting. Let's do a test. And so they do a colonoscopy, and they say, well, the results of the colonoscopy are, you're normal. And you're going, but doctor, why am I vomiting? Why do I have severe cramps in my gut? Why am I nauseated? Why do I want to throw up? Why do I have projectile diarrhea? Well, your colon test is normal, sir. Let's watch and wait. And so you try medications to, like, antispasmodic drugs. Well, let me ask you a question. Does an antispasmodic drug address the root cause of your problem? Well, maybe if one pill cures you and you're done, maybe it did. But the vast majority of the time, the answer's no, it doesn't do any such. And you say, doctor, what am I going to do about all this tummy pain I have? Well, good luck, because I've got a new anti-nausea drug for you. Well, does the anti-nausea drug that makes you feel like you're going to stop vomiting, does that do anything to fix the root cause of the problem? No, it's just symptomatic relief. You say, well, doctor, I have all this pain in my lower GI tract, my lower gut. Well, they can give you a painkiller. There's one called Acicol, used all the time for tummy pain. I'm not telling you where to put it, but to make a long story short, does it do anything to address the pain? No! None of these drugs do one thing for even a brief moment to fix the root cause of the problem. Oh, no. Mm-mm. So, going back to diatomaceous earth, this stuff is so famous. A lady was telling me this yesterday, that she said there's a tremendous debate in the horse people community. What's that called? Horse people? Maybe there's a focus group called Focus on Horses. But she said there's a debate whether they should use diatomaceous earth on their horses to worm them or get rid of the parasites. And I asked her, I said, okay, what do you see when you clean up a stall full of horse poop? She says, are you kidding? It's full of life. She's even telling me about all the parasites she sees. But one thing that diatomaceous earth does a tremendous job of is it gets rid of parasites. I mean, it's phenomenal. I remember, I'm going to tell you one story. If I don't get the details just perfect, just kind of give me artistic license here, because, you know, I read so much, and I don't always remember every little single detail, but I get the gist of it, and so here's the gist of this story. There was a zoo in Ohio that had a special enclosure for chimpanzees. Now, I don't know if you know any chimpanzees personally, or if you're friends with a chimpanzee, or you tend to like to hang out with chimpanzees. But you know that they're a whole lot stronger than a human being. I think the average chimpanzee could probably pick me up and throw me like at least 100 yards without much effort on their part. I mean, they're just so physically strong. And that's not really my main point. My point is they have tremendous potential to hurt others, as in fellow chimpanzees. And so I don't know if you call it I'm going to call them a troop. I don't remember what they're called. So in this enclosure, what they had was they had a major behavioral problem in the zoo. They had two male chimpanzees that were behaving very, very badly. They were downright mean to other chimps. They were wreaking havoc. They were causing discord. They were doing everything that the zookeepers did not want them to do. And so what they did was, and also, I'm sorry, let me tell you the other side of the equation here. You know you can tell a lot about a body by looking at the person's skin and face, can't you? Well, these chimpanzees, they had these red, scabby, crusty lesions all over their skin. What does that tell you? That tells you that when you've got skin problems, that's almost always, not always, but I would say the great majority or the higher percentage of the time, that's an indication that something's not right on the inside of the human body, or in this case, inside the chimpanzee body. Well, what they did was, somebody came up with this idea, what do we do about this horrific behavior of the chimpanzee, and what do we do about this horrible skin and these two male chimps that are driving the rest of them bonkers? I think that's a fair statement. Somebody came up with a brilliant idea to add diatomaceous earth, which costs pennies. Pennies. We're not talking about a drug that costs $20,000. It costs pennies. They added it to the drinking water. Within 1 month, all their fur, if you want to call it hair and skin, I think that's fair to say for a chimpanzee, it returned to normal. They started looking gorgeous and beautiful again, if you can say that about a chimpanzee being gorgeous and beautiful. But more importantly, their bad, bad, angry behavior, their abusive behavior stopped. Well, you know what? It was because they had parasites. It's simple as that. And that's what diatomaceous earth does. It's good at helping remove parasites from living organisms, whether it be a dog or a cat. Now, I'm going to tell you one more story, and then I'll let me give you the phone number here at the station. It's 903-589-8507. One more story, and then we'll go straight to the phone lines, okay? All right, here goes. There's a type of a protozoal parasite that's called Toxoplasma gondii. I think there's two I's at the end of it, so that's how I'm going to pronounce it. If I'm wrong, please correct me. Well, in this organism, part of the life cycle of this parasite is it wants to be inside of a rat. Once it's inside of the rat, I think it migrates to the brain of the rat. And you're asking me, well, how is that significant for a parasite? Now, if I give you a simple definition, a parasite is a living organism that has got to absolutely have a host in order for it to live, feed, and reproduce, because it can't make it on its own otherwise. And so this organism, it needs a host in order for it to reproduce and do whatever it wants to do. So it needs a rat to start out with. This is the first starting point. And so it goes to the brain of a rat. And this is what it does. And you're just going to have to take my word for it, but you can look up all this stuff on the internet. It's easy to study. But what it does to the brain of the rat, it causes the rat to start hopping and bouncing around like it's got hyperactivity. The rat ceases to move around stealthily. Okay? What is the advantage to a rat to move very cautiously and slowly when it's searching for food or doing everything that rats do all day long? Well, it's not seen. But if a rat all of a sudden starts hopping and jumping around like it can't sit still, it's like got high ADD or ADHD, hyperactivity, can't sit still for any reason. You know I'm making an analogy, but anyway, you're smart. I know you can figure it out. So it becomes obvious to every cat in the neighborhood that there's rats out there because they're like jumping around like crazy and they're easy to spot. They're not in stealth mode like they used to be. And the second thing that the Toxoplasma gondii does to the brain of a rat, it makes them become severely attracted to cat urine. Now, I can tell you what's supposed to happen. A normal rat, if it wants to stay alive, it needs to be going the other direction if it smells a cat or smells cat urine. It should say, if I want to live and have a family, I better get out of here. But instead, the Toxoplasma gondii organism, it makes the rat attracted to cat urine. So you already know how this is going to go. The rats are jumping and hopping around right there where cats are, so cats eat them. And this is the second stage of the parasite's development. It goes into the cat. Now, I'm just going to cut to the chase. When a person has a litter box in their home, this would be a location where the cat, cats are smart, sort of smart. They go to the litter box, they take care of their business, and you as the human owner, you go up to the litter box with your scoop and you try to say, oh, I'm going to dispose of Mr. Whiskers, you know, waste. But the problem is the parasite eggs are already in the litter. And so by scooping, you create dust. And the dust floats in the air, and you breathe it into your lungs. And guess what happens to the Toxoplasma gondii? It takes on its third and final resting place in the human brain. And what it does is, have you ever heard of a mental condition called schizophrenia? Okay, you ever seen that? I have many times. It is not pleasant. I've seen it when I thought, man, somebody's going to call the police. This is just, it's that bad. Anyway, so, this organism called Toxoplasma gondii, I think it was written about in the year 1983 in Science Magazine or Science Journal, which stated this is like one of the leading causes of people that have schizophrenia or mental illness. Now, have you ever heard that before? So you have all these people at Rush State Hospital that have schizophrenia. Have they ever been tested for an organism called Toxoplasma gondii? Here's what the stuff does. Do you know what a puppet is? Okay. Of course you know what a puppet is. Well, you know what the puppet master is? Or you get the gist of it. So this organism makes the human being behave and think and act in bizarre ways. Here's what we should be doing. People that have mental illness, they should be tested for an infection that's making them say and do things they shouldn't do. Anyway, if you want to go to the phone lines, the number here is 903-589-8507. I welcome your phone calls. If you have a question of any kind, call me, ask a question. This program is Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan, and there is a phone line open. So every week I have about 10 people call my office saying it's impossible for them to get through because there's never a phone line open. Well, here's your shot. You can call me right now at 903-589-8507. And if nobody calls, I'm going on to my next topic. Okay, this one I liked very much also. Here's the title of it right here. And this is the title of the study. It was done in February 2020. It says, and just let this roll around in your head. It says, meaning in life and risk of cognitive impairment, a 9-year prospective study in 14 countries. Okay? So, let me read this to you right here. Researchers from Florida State University, they analyzed data collected from 2006 to 2015, that's 9 years, in the Survey of Health, Aging, and Retirement in Europe. Okay, there's the study. The American researchers were able to follow 22,514 people over the age of 50 who lived in 13 different countries. And also Israel. They followed them for an average of 7 consecutive years. Okay, now this is a starting point here. When the trial started, the study participants had formulated an answer to the question, how often do you feel that your life has meaning? All right, I think that's a great question right there. So in the years that followed, researchers used basic tests to determine whether the study participants, whether they were deteriorating mentally. This was the case with 4% of the participants. Here's the results right here, and I'll just kind of get right to it. I'm going to cut through all the hard data because it's just too much information. If the study participants indicated that they often felt that their lives were completely meaningless, then their risk of mental decline was 75% greater than if the study participants indicated that they often felt that their lives actually had meaning. I tell you, if you struggle with this, all this is answered so easily just by going to church on Sunday morning. You start hearing about God's plan for His creation. If you start hearing about what God wants for you, and I promise you, what God wants for you is very, very good. You'll start having meaning to your life. And it's going to be meaning that's going to be greater than anything here on earth. Anyway, that's my two cents. The effect of experiencing purpose and meaning remained after the Americans had removed the impact of lifestyle factors such as religion, I know, that's just their terms, age, gender, education, and marital status. Even when they removed from their sample the study participants who had started to deteriorate soon after answering the question about experiencing meaning, the association was still intact. And here's the conclusion right here. The present study indicates there is a robust association between meaning in life and the risk of cognitive impairment. Here's what the researchers summarize. Given its malleability, meaning may be a useful intervention target to support healthier cognitive aging and to reduce dementia. They're just saying, we hope your life has meaning. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Here's what the researchers summarize.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
You're here. You're with me.
Oh, okay. This is the guy that his neck been broke twice. I just wanted to thank you for all of your advice to me.
Oh, well, you're sure welcome. What did I tell you to do?
To walk for an hour, and I told you about my liver, and you suggested
salt palmetto
for my prostate, and I forget what you artichoke, you know, and stuff for my liver. And
yeah,
I've been doing all that stuff, and
cool.
I wanted to just thank you because you have helped me so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And you are the only doctor that has returned a call that I made to you, and I'm almost 65 years old, but you're the only doctor that has ever called me back.
Oh, boy.
I want to thank you for that, too.
Oh, well, you're sure welcome.
Because that's what blessed me and my wife also.
Well, is there anything that you're dealing with now that you're struggling with or you need to, you would like to see some improvement in?
My wife, I've been getting a lot of information about long COVID and where people that even if they haven't gotten the vaccine, that other people express out of their breath
has
the spike protein, you know, and we get it that way.
Well, you want to know how to get rid of the spike protein?
Yes.
It's an amino acid, and this is part of the equation, but it's important. It's called N-acetylcysteine. Sometimes it's called NAC for short. So, like, if you went to the health food store to shop today, you might say, "Where's your NAC?" NAC.
Okay.
Because that's been shown to neutralize the spike protein. The other one that's been shown to be helpful when they combine it with NAC is a protein digesting enzyme, but lo and behold, guess where it comes from? It comes from pineapples. It's called bromelain.
Bromelain?
Yes, bromelain. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See, that's the reason why your wife wants you to take her on a vacation to Hawaii so she can eat fresh pineapple growing on the side of Mount Kilauea.
I've been feeling funky, kind of like a up and down feeling.
One day she's okay, then the next day she's feeling, you know.
Well, I don't want to overstate what I started the program with today, but let me give it another shot. Diatomaceous earth.
Right.
It holds this negative electrical ionic charge to it. Everything to do with the COVID virus, that's a positive ionic charge, which means it's very, very toxic to a human organism. The other thing that I don't have any problem saying is COVID-19 is one crazy parasite. The only way it can live is if it takes up residence inside of the tissue of a human body, and then it starts wreaking havoc. It steals all your nutrients. It steals everything it wants from you and doesn't do anything in good in return. That's a parasite. So the diatomaceous earth, that's one of the things that you can use to help soak up the poison so it can be ideally eliminated from your body.
How much do you take?
Well, do you mind telling me on the radio how much you weigh?
I weigh 103.5.
A tablespoon.
Okay.
And there's a whole bunch of brands. Can I tell you the brand that I'm consuming right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's called, the brand name is Harris.
Harris?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what you're looking for what's called food-grade diatomaceous earth. You can get a huge bag of it for like next to nothing.
Yeah, we get that for our chickens.
Oh, no. It's too valuable for them. No, that's good. Well, let me ask you this. You already understand. Chickens are loaded with parasites.
Right.
I mean, they're covered up. So diatomaceous earth, if you add it to their feed, you're doing them a huge favor by cutting down on the parasites.
Hey, right. That's why we do that.
Oh, so you've heard all this before, huh? Right.
Right.
I didn't know we could take
it. But I didn't know, you know, that would help her.
Oh, my goodness. I think this is one of the greatest things that God has created for us. You know, sometimes I spend my time thinking, if I only knew and understood how to use these things that God has made, man.
Right.
And that's why we're learning here. But diatomaceous earth is literally one of the most effective supplements that I have ever used before.
Okay.
What would she do? A teaspoon of that in a liquid?
I said tablespoon.
Oh, tablespoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's some people, they don't like the taste of dirt. It doesn't really bother me. And I have no problem recommending your wife eat dirt. I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, that was my whole childhood. But you can add it to juice if you don't like the taste of it. Some people put it in apple juice. I can tell you what my habit is. I love hibiscus tea. Now, there's a lot of people, they cannot stand it. I don't get that. But my taste buds, I'm with you on that. But I just put a tablespoon in the hibiscus tea, stir it up, and drink it. Sure, it tastes like dirt, but it's in the category of I'm doing this because it benefits me and helps me.
How about adding it to your great Gatorade that we make?
Fine by me.
Okay.
It's going to make it kind of a milky, cloudy color. But you have to be careful when you take a spoonful out because if the stuff drops, it like, poof, it's dust everywhere. But these are microscopic. These are the exoskeletons of dead algae. But the stuff is just read it, whatever you want on it. You could probably go to YouTube right now and type in, is there any benefit to humans and diatomaceous earth? And just see what you come up with.
Okay.
Wait, have y'all ever heard of YouTube before? Is that like a new website?
Yeah, of course. my symptoms, though, Dr. Morgan, have been wicked, to say the least.
Well, what are the worst ones you're dealing with?
My chest congestion, coughing up loogies and stuff.
Well, do you know what they used to use 200 years ago to fix that within 3 days?
Well, the breathing of the thyme and the cinnamon.
Close. Have you been doing that?
Occasionally, yes.
Well, you might want to do that twice a day, but they used to use turpentine. I'm not recommending that to anybody. But turpentine That is an extract that comes from a pine tree. Yes. If anybody has an abundance of pine trees, it's us. We have pine trees everywhere.
Uh-huh.
If your husband goes for a walk in the forest today, I want him to break off a big chunk of that pine rosin. And I love the way that smells.
What do you do with it?
Well, I just want to smell it.
I love it.
Well, if you play the violin, we can use it to rosin your bow or your cello. But
I have two violins.
Do you really? That's so funny. But turpentine is a substance that's distilled out of the pine resin or the pine oils. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when I was a child growing up, that was like the top medicine remedy. A lot of people... What now?
Do you eat it?
Well, it comes in a liquid form once it's distilled. And some people, what they do is they purchase what are called gum spirits, like chewing gum, gum spirits of turpentine. And that's very easy to come by. But back in, I was reading in a woman's journal from like the 1920s, that was their top remedy to treat the cold or flu or all this gunk in their lungs. They would take 6 to 12 drops of turpentine and they would put on a cube of sugar. Now, I know there's a very famous woman you have never heard of. Her name is Mary Poppins. But Mary Poppins came up with a song, "A Teaspoon of Sugar Helps the Medicine Go Down." I'm pretty sure that's what she's referring to is the turpentine. But personally, I don't mind the taste of it. I've taken it many times myself. I'm not telling anybody else to do that. But oh, and the other thing, I'm so sorry. I get so easily distracted because I've read so much on this. But do you know that you can go online and you can read medical journals from 200 years ago?
Is that right?
It is. It's so fascinating. But my point is, I was reading in one this week from the year 1889. And I want to say the name of the medical journal. It was called The Lancet. And actually, The Lancet is one of the most famous, technically sophisticated journals on the earth. It's called Lancet. You ever heard of that?
No.
Anyway, 1889. Now, this is what gets me right here. This doctor that was that wrote the article in this medical journal in 1889, he was promoting people that have, I mean, four people that have very, very bad cancer pain. And I know this is like a hard conversation. I'm not trying to make light of anything here. But there's going to be even people in the year 2024 that have intractable pain in their body because they're dealing with cancer. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, sir.
You want to guess what he used to stop the cancer pain?
Turpentine?
Yep, he sure did.
They
also made the notation in one of the studies they did, and it's, you got to remember, this is 1889. They did not have all the raw data that a study has today, which that doesn't disturb me at all. But they would say that a lot of the tumors where they would medicinally apply turpentine, that there would be a complete stopping of the growth of the tumor or the cancer. And I thought to myself, really? Isn't that interesting? Maybe God is giving us some things so we can have life and have it more abundantly, right?
Yes, absolutely. I believe in that, and I believe the good Lord is going to heal me.
And the good Lord is using you to benefit us.
To help me, yeah.
Well, and
I do feel better.
What I'm getting at is turpentine will probably discharge any toxic parasitic bug that's living inside of you.
Okay.
So
you sound a little congested yourself.
Oh, yeah, I had that gunk, but that's what I used to clear it up, was turpentine.
Okay. I'm going to get some of that. Wow, I thank you.
Well,
so
maybe you can easily look up research from a long time ago, and you can find out what was the application, what did medical doctors recommend, how did they apply it. A lot of the, you know how we have like Vicks Vapor Rub that has menthol and eucalyptus in it for the chest. Well, that was the main chest rub they had back then. It was made of turpentine.
Wow.
So I'm not making any of this stuff up. That was the standard operating procedure for chest congestion in children. Anyway, does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely, doctor.
Now, what can she do for upset gut?
Well, I've already told you, the diatomaceous earth and the turpentine.
Yeah.
And that'll help her lungs, too?
That's exactly why I'm bringing all this up, yes.
Wow, you're so good.
I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know, then I've read before some of the trade names of the salves they used to use for the chest in children, but one of the ingredients was turpentine. I just cannot tell you the ratio, but this is not what I call rocket science. It's turpentine.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people use this when they have oil paints and they're trying to clean the paint, the oil-based enamel off their paintbrush, but that's not what I'm talking about using it for.
No. No.
Can we get that from a health food store?
I don't know the answer to that. I know you can order it online easily.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you who has it. Amazon.com.
Alrighty.
Or go cut down a pine tree and boil it.
That's exactly right. That's what I was thinking of. Y'all should get a pressure cooker, cook that turpentine right out, and you can start distilling it. I don't know what temperature it distills, but I'm sure you can figure that out. Does your husband have a still in the backyard?
Not today. No. We might later on. But
I am so sorry for asking such a delicate question of you.
Yeah, it's illegal, number one.
Oh, yes, of course. Nobody would be making moonshine these days.
Oh, we're on private property. It's not out of the question.
Okay, jumping on to the next topic. All right, is there anything else I can help you with today?
No, sir, and I just thank you and God bless you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to both of y'all. I'm glad you're better.
Thank you, darling.
You're welcome. Bye. Have a great day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You too.
I remember one time I was walking, just being curious. Okay, the phone line's open again, just in case you want to know. 903-589-8507. There's a phone line open. But I remember I came across this really old cemetery. And it was no problem seeing headstones from like 1801 or 1822. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Got a question. I have recently sprained my ankle. What would be a good application, or what would be good to help heal, help with the pain?
Where's the sprinkle? Like, where's, did you hear what I said? Where's the sprinkle?
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've got it all together today. I'm totally on 100%. Okay, is it sprained on the outside or the inside?
Outside. It's,
okay.
It's the two ligaments that are normally ruptured.
Are they ruptured?
One's a class 3 or grade 3. And
oh, my goodness.
Well, and I was thinking with the ice and stuff coming, people lifting, somebody's probably going to fall and unfortunately hurt themselves. So,
well, I hope it's not you. Thinking about other people, though. That's very thoughtful.
Well, yeah, and I'm trying to get well myself, but yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this just for a brief moment. You got a sprained ankle. You want to make sure it heals efficiently. This would actually be one of the best applications for taking a collagen supplement. Collagen, by its very nature, it goes exactly to where it's needed the most. You don't have to tell it what to do. And if you've taken, and that's what ligaments are made of. Ligaments are what hold bones together. And so if you've sprained a ligament, well, maybe the ankle's a little bit wonky. So collagen, I use a product for this called Ligaplex 2 by Standard Process. But if you put some collagen into your body, that would be a godsend. Now, the other thing, and I know I'm going to give you a lot of stuff here, so just kind of take it with a grain of salt. I would be, if it were me, I would rub castor oil directly over the area that has been injured every night before I go to bed. And if you don't want to get castor oil on your bedding or your sheets, your wife will be so upset with you if you get them all oily. Just cover them with a wool sock. But let the castor oil soak in. The other thing that I would do, Actually, I went out of order here. I would take fresh lemon juice and I would apply it directly to the area of the sprain. And there's a lot of reasons why. Vitamin C might be one of them. But if you do that, let it soak in and then apply the castor oil, I think you're going to heal so much faster than if you did not do that. Now, if it's swollen and it's just not showing signs of response, that's what a clay pack is for. So there's a product they sell at the store called Indian Healing Clay. This application, you could actually mix it with what's called apple cider vinegar. You're trying to make like a thick mud. Just think like, what would a potter do if he had a pottery wheel spinning and he was trying to make a cup or a bowl? About that thickness. But you pack that clay on there, you let it air dry, give it 20 minutes and then wash it off. That stuff is phenomenal. It draws out inflammation and impurities, which is what you want.
So castor oil?
Lemon juice? Then castor oil?
Lemon juice during the day?
Well, you can put lemon juice on it before you put the castor oil if you wanted to. Okay. I've seen them work really well together. You're just trying to promote healing. I mean, a grade 3, that's not just a simple owie boo-boo. That's pretty significant. And now, the other thing that I think, I'm a fan of wool socks for ankle sprains. I know that sounds nutty, but just humor me. You don't have to buy wool socks. That's what I'm wearing right now, merino wool socks. Great for the feet.
Well, and that's what I've got one on currently, just a hole just to help that compression on right now.
Well, do you have a compression sleeve over your ankle?
I do. I actually do, yes.
Okay. Well, that's fine. So those are some of the simple things that I would do. I know this sounds crazy, but when you've had a sprained ankle, you got to keep it moving to make sure it heals right. That could be as simple as you put your feet on bicycle pedals and just pedal for, 30 minutes gently, just to get that motion. If you told me that this ankle is not healing, I would take a 5-gallon bucket of water, I'd put some ice in it, and I'd put my foot in there for 10 minutes. And I would just gently pump the foot up and down, almost like your feet are on an old-timey Singer treadle sewing machine, and you're just kind of pumping the treadle up and down to make your sewing machine work. Now, when you sew your clothes for your church shirt on Sunday, are you still using your Singer treadle sewing machine, or are you using electric fancy model?
I haven't seen one of those in years.
They're pretty cool, aren't they?
Yes.
Anyway,
well,
but
I've also when I have my ankle up, I've been massaging, I guess, the tendons in case there's some scar tissue that needs to be broken up.
Oh, there is scar tissue, and that's why you keep it moving to limit that.
Okay. Well, you've been a great help.
Hey, thanks a bunch. I wish you the best. I hope you heal super, super fast.
You have a blessed one.
Thank you very much, buddy. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, there's a phone line once again open. There's about 11 minutes left in the program. It's 903-589-8507. This program is Health Essentials. Maybe you've never heard it before, but we're here, obviously, Lord willing, every Saturday morning from 7 to 8. So I've got just about a full hour with you, and I try to cover as many topics as possible. But obviously, I'm super, super biased. I like natural things that don't poison the body. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Hello, how are you? Okay, you're on the air with me. You've got your radio on. You got to turn the radio off and then talk to me.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Let's see. I'm wondering what you do about the. I've got human papillomavirus, I guess, wart on my finger,
mm-hmm.
and I took salicylic acid. I used that and didn't seem to have huge good impact. Or, I mean, it didn't do a whole lot for it in particular. I was wondering what I might do otherwise.
Well, did that beat it down, but it came back, or what happened?
Yes.
Well, okay, this is a viral load on the human body, and obviously you're trying to make it easy on the body to heal. So I'm just going to run down a list. I don't know if I'm going to go in any order, so just kind of, you know, play along with me. Number one, it's hard to get rid of warts on the finger if a person's eating a lot of sugar. Is there any possibility that you're eating refined sugar?
Yes, probably so.
Could I talk you into eating things like a bowl of raspberries or, you know, fruit salad instead of sugar?
I can work on that.
All right, deal. Shake on it. We're going great today. The other thing, have you ever heard the term vitamin A?
Yes, sir.
The way that vitamin A was given its name is because it was called the anti-infection vitamin. And one of the jobs of vitamin A is to maintain the integrity of the skin where you don't have a loss of integrity and then a virus starts growing a wart. So there's an intimate relationship between vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc. But I would say for the most part, if you're trying to bolster your immune system, you might want to take about 30 milligrams of zinc a day for a few weeks. Or, you know what you could do? I know this sounds nutty, but just kind of play along like it makes sense.
Okay.
You could take a zinc tablet, and you could just tape it to that wart overnight and see if it goes away. I don't. It's fine with me if you put castor oil and then tape a tablet of zinc to it. You know, they sell zinc lozenges at the store, and I think like a roll of zinc lozenges are like, what, $2 maybe? Prior to COVID, they were probably 99 cents, but after COVID, they're probably $2.25. But you could do that and see if it begins to diminish and go away, because usually zinc is one of the most effective ways that your immune system... actually, let me say it in verse. If you don't have enough zinc to meet your needs, your immune system cannot respond to a virus fully and properly and, you know, complete the cycle of getting rid of it. Because that's really what I want your immune system to do. I want it to go over there to where that wart is and kick it. Let me see. Where do I want it to kick the virus? How about in the head? Knock it out, beat it up, eat it, get rid of it. That's what your immune system is, to remove anything that is not you or doesn't belong. But you could also take zinc orally, and I say 30 milligrams. I think that's probably like a pretty safe dose. And give your immune system a chance to heal. The other thing, and this is just kind of what my mind is telling me right now, a lot of times when an individual is very low in an element that's essential to human life, it's called iodine.
Okay.
I tend to see so many more warts form, you know, plantar warts, warts on the fingers, when there's a person's deficient in iodine. You know how they used to determine if a person was low in iodine 100 years ago? They would take the iodine that you apply to a cut, and, you know, they put a dye in there that's kind of like a brownish, orange-yellow color, if I can say, all those together. But when you rub it on your skin, if you rub that iodine on your skin or quote, paint it on, if that orange-yellow-brown patch is still there 24 hours later, well, you're not low in iodine. But if that sucker disappears within 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, that means you're really low in iodine.
Okay, I know both of my parents have done that for years on and off, so.
What have they done?
Just put a little iodine on their skin or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And what did they use that for? To prevent infections? Stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's one idea. The other thing that I would say is, you know what a mango is? Yeah, that's probably what I should have said a while ago. Mangoes are very high in beta carotene or provitamin A, but I found that mangoes are so good when you have a skin infection that won't go away.
Okay.
Now, I want you to wait till Monday morning and before there's 3 feet of snow and it's like 20 below zero, then I want you to go to the produce section at the store to get your mangoes.
Okay.
Don't do it today when it's safe.
All right.
No, I'm just trying to be funny. The highest source or the greatest amount of vitamin A, it's found in liver. So if a person eats liver and onions, you are giving a shot in the arm to your immune system to help it to defeat warts.
Okay.
Now, this is just my belief. I'm a huge fan of what's called cod liver oil. Sometimes you can take cod liver oil, drench the gauze portion of a Band-Aid, or wrap it tight on. Just keep the oil in contact with the wart and see if it doesn't just disappear and start to fall off. That's really what I want the wart to do, is I want it to die and fall off of your body.
All right. That sounds great. And I also appreciate earlier in your show, the diatomaceous earth. I need to get some of that for my cows.
Yes, sir, you do.
Also, my daughter has a lot of skin problems and stuff, so that might
well,
help her.
What have you got to lose by giving her a little bit of diatomaceous earth? Can you imagine the number of doctors right now? They're just cringing at my recommendations. They're saying, no, we need to put cortisone cream on all those skin lesions. That's what we want to do. I mean, they're just upset. I mean, but I don't care about that. I care. You know what? In the Bible, what does it say? As believers, not only do we look after our own interests, but we're supposed to care and look after the needs and the interests of others, right?
Yes, sir.
And we're supposed to put others above ourselves. And so what I think is, I'd like to put your daughter's interest at the top of the totem pole. And so look into diatomaceous earth and tell me what you come up with. Just make certain that it says food grade on there.
Okay.
If it doesn't say food grade, I wouldn't put it in my mouth.
Okay, I'll give that to the cows then.
Absolutely. The cows will thank you. You know how they're going to thank you? They're going to grow to their fullest potential.
Well, that's what they're there for.
You ain't kidding. That is exactly what they're there for. You know what a guy told me the other day? He says, every day for a cow is Christmas Day, except for one day. Anyway.
Yep.
But every other day they walk the earth, they're doing great, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Do your cows have some woods that they're smart enough to go to when it gets super cold and windy?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'm rooting for you, man. Let me know how it works out.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate
you betcha. I really enjoyed talking to you. Thanks a bunch.
Uh-huh.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay. Phone line is once again, well, actually, I don't even know if there's enough time for another phone call. I'm so sorry. I think we have like a minute left, maybe tops. I can just visit with you. Let me see. What do we want to talk about for the last minute? I think, okay. What I'm always trying to do is I want to build a good case for why a person needs to do something a certain way, or why they might need to... let me just use the example of diatomaceous earth. Well, obviously, I want to build a good case for it where you can say, okay, that has value to me. But, you know, the more and more people that I talk to, they're really, really desirous of things they can do that are very, very good, and they're safe, and they're non-toxic, and they really benefit the health of the human body. So anything that makes your cells healthier and stronger, isn't that exactly what we want to promote? And I wasn't really trying to be negative earlier, but I mean, it's just without... there's no end to doctors prescribing drugs for everything. And yes, I've asked a million people, how did the visit go? Did the doctor explain the lab test to you? Did they go over your blood work? Did they tell you what the results of the urinalysis was? And the answer is almost always the same, no. And I'll go, well, why are all these out of range? You've got all these highs and lows. And just the amount of people that I see that have been just suffering horribly on 20 to 30 prescription drugs, it's astronomical. I always ask myself the question, what are they trying to fix? Anyway, I'm not trying to be negative. But I'm convinced that the direction of the health of our country has got to change from a tremendous over-reliance on drugs and chemicals that don't really heal anything. Instead, we need to learn how to be good stewards and take care of ourselves. So I think I'm right on track when I talk about all the things I talked about today. Anyway, God bless you. Have a good weekend. Stay warm. I hope... we don't have horrible weather, but, you know, I'm not in charge of that, so we'll just make the best of it.